Today we're continuing this series on praying through the names of God, and I'd like to read from Exodus chapter 15, verses 20 to 27, which is the first passage in which God gives us the name Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Hear the word of the Lord. Then the prophet Miriam, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand. All the women followed her, playing tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang the refrain back to them, "Sing to the Lord for an overflowing victory. Horse and rider he threw into the sea." Then Moses had Israel leave the Reed Sea and go out into the Shur desert. They traveled for 3 days in the desert and found no water. When they came to Marah, they couldn't drink Marah's water because it was bitter. That's why it was called Marah. The people complained against Moses. "What will we drink?" Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord pointed out a tree to him. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. The Lord made a regulation and a ruling there, and there he tested them. And the Lord said, "If you are careful to obey the Lord your God, do what he thinks is right, pay attention to his commandments, and keep all of his regulations, then I won't bring on you any of the diseases that I brought on the Egyptians. I am the Lord who heals you." Jehovah Rapha. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. They camped there by the water. As we prepare to see how this word connects to our lives today, I invite you to watch this video.
I'd like you to meet Christine.
I'd like you to meet Patrick. Meet Octavio.
Meet Mary and Gwen.
They're people.
People.
People with problems and hopes and dreams and lives that are as different as each person.
Christine wonders why she feels empty even though everything in her life is perfect. Gwen is wondering how she's going to get through another day. Some are grieving the loss of a loved one.
Or the end of a marriage. Others are dealing with the stresses of life.
They're all different.
But they have the same need. One need.
One need. They need answers.
Answers. Christine tries to find hers through success.
Patrick tries to run from his reality.
Mary just wants to forget, and
Gwen is just sticking to what she knows.
They're all searching for life's answers, and they all want to find truth.
Real truth.
There are 5 billion different people on this earth with one need. Truth.
The truth.
The truth of God's word.
They need the truth. God's truth.
Truth.
Patrick needs to know that the Bible is full of grieving fathers. Mary needs to know that she is never alone. Christine needs to know that true significance can only be found in Christ. And Gwen needs to hear Jesus' call to the weary. They need to know the word whose name is Jesus. They need the word that is true.
God's word. God's truth.
They need the truth that will set them free.
They need to know the truth. The question is, how will they find it?
So as I watched that video this morning, I wonder, what need did you bring with you to church today? Well, whatever it is, as we continue in this series, I invite you to know the truth. The truth that Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, is with you. In this story that we're looking at today in Exodus 15, Moses has just led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. And Israel was pursued by Pharaoh's armies. And Moses raised up his staff. And the waters of the Red Sea separated. And the children of Israel walked through on dry ground. While Pharaoh's armies were drowned, his horses and chariots and mighty warriors lying dead along the seashore. This passage begins with celebration. But as we will see, the journey from their old life to their new life takes them through the desert. Let's look again at the beginning of this story. Then the prophet Miriam, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand. All the women followed her, playing tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang the refrain back to them. Sing to the Lord for an overflowing victory. Horse and rider he threw into the sea. Then Moses had Israel leave the Reed Sea and go out into the Shur desert. They traveled for 3 days in the desert and found no water. Now notice how it says that Moses had Israel leave the Red Sea and go out into the desert. Some other translations say that Moses made Israel leave the Red Sea and go out into the desert. Apparently, he had to make them do it because they were tempted, now that Pharaoh had been defeated, to go back to their old life in Egypt. They knew the land was fertile there. It was familiar territory to them. They could start a whole new life, perhaps. But that was not God's plan for them. And God was saying to them through Moses, look, you have left your old life behind you. I have something new that I'm leading you toward. And you know, the same thing is true for us as followers of Jesus. There may be some things in your old life that you're tempted to return to. But God says, you don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you used to be. Look ahead to where I'm calling you to be. And so God calls Israel out into the desert. And life, as we know, would not always be easy there. And yet there were important lessons to be learned in the desert. There were laws to be given in the desert. There in the desert, God would prepare them to enter the promised land. They had to make a decisive break with the past and move forward in order to experience the new life that God had promised them. And so they traveled for 3 days in the desert after Moses made them leave the Red Sea behind. And with all their animals and perhaps 2 or 3 million people, any water supplies they had along the way were probably all gone. God had brought them to the brink of survival. I understand that a person can only live 3 days without water, so here they were on the edge, dying of thirst. And then they see what looks like something that can meet their need and quench their thirst. But what they find in that place is only bitterness. And as it says in number 2 in the teaching notes, on our journey, we experience bitterness. Verse 23, when they came to Mara, they couldn't drink Mara's water because it was bitter. That's why it was called Mara. Mara. The Hebrew word for bitter appears 4 times in just that one verse. And it's there to remind us that living in this world, we can experience bitterness. Bitter. That word is used at several other places in the Bible. It was used back in Exodus chapter 1:14, where we learned that while the Hebrews were slaves in Egypt, their taskmasters made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks that they had imposed on them. So they were in bondage in Egypt and their lives were bitter. Mara is also used in the book of Ruth. Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, had lost her husband and both of her sons, and she's so overwrought with grief that she tells the friends that come to console her, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has made me very bitter." The world is full of bitterness. And we've all experienced that. Because of sin, death entered the world. And disease and sickness and abuse and mistreatment. All these things pour forth in our experience of life. And most of us have tasted that bitterness. And some of us might be tasting that Mara right now. But the good news of this story is that on this journey, Jehovah Rapha makes the bitter sweet. Jehovah Rapha makes the bitter life sweet. Now just imagine, just 3 days before this, after they had crossed the Red Sea, God's people are singing God's praises. They had this amazing worship experience. And Aaron's sister Miriam is singing her refrain, and the women were dancing with their tambourines and rejoicing in the miracles of God. And here, just 3 days later, they're dying of thirst. And what do the people do? Well, verse 24 tells us the people complained against Moses. What will we drink? Now, we'll get to the rest of that verse later, but for now, I want to focus on grumbling, the complaining against Moses. The word grumble means to say anything against someone in a low tone. Grumbling. You know what that sounds like. I can still remember my very first pastoral visit in 1982 when I was at my first appointment just out of seminary. I went to visit this Korean War veteran who had been disabled, and I went to his home and I rang the doorbell, and all of the sudden I hear this grrr. And I looked up and there was a Doberman stretched out on the door in front of me and growling. It was terrifying. This dog was standing between Gene and the door, and I wasn't going inside because of his ferocious grrr. I think it's a sound like that the people of Israel must have been making around Moses. Grrr! What have you done to us? We're thirsty. The water's bitter. In the first five books of the Bible, there are at least six chapters that focus on Israel's complaint against Moses. It seems that every time they got into trouble, they started to question whether Moses was really competent to be their leader. And worse than that, they grumbled against God. Commenting on this passage, Max Lucado writes this: "Their jubilation over liberation soon becomes frustration over dehydration." Maybe you've experienced that. Their jubilation over liberation soon becomes frustration over dehydration. When we get down to it, bitterness does not really come from our outward circumstances, but it comes from within us. It comes from the heart. And I wonder, what kind of words come out of your mouth when you taste the bitterness of life? Well, in the midst of the bitterness, the Israelites complained against Moses. But where did Moses turn when the people were dying of thirst and the water turned out to be bitter? It says Moses cried out to the Lord. Now, in our English translations, the Hebrew word Yahweh, which we alliterate as Jehovah, is often spelled with all capital letters, L-O-R-D. And I've been told by people who are younger than me that you're not supposed to use all caps when you're sending an email or a letter to someone, because using all caps is like shouting at that person. And, well, that's just rude. But a single word in all caps, that's different. A single word in all caps makes that word stand out above all the rest. And Moses cries out to the Lord, spelled in all capital letters, because it's only the Lord who can make the bitter water sweet. And here's something I'd like to challenge you with. If you have experienced the bitterness of life, you know you have a need. But instead of complaining to the people around you about it, pray like Moses did. Cry out to the Lord for help. Because Jehovah Rapha is our healer. So Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord pointed out a tree to him. And Moses threw the tree into the water, and the water became sweet. This is good news. God can make a bitter life sweet. God is able to heal brokenness if we reach out to Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Now, when I was reading this, I wondered, why a tree? I mean, couldn't Moses have just like raised his staff over Marah and made the bitter water sweet like he separated the Red Sea? Or couldn't God have made that brackish water clean without Moses? Why did they need the bitter spring first? And why did God point out that tree and tell Moses to throw it in the water? Well, I think that God uses a piece of wood, a tree, because there's a function that points to the future. You might remember two other trees in the Bible that God uses to bring healing. The first is the tree on which Jesus died, the cross of Calvary. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul writes, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, because it is written, everyone who is hung on a tree is cursed. There and in many other places, the gospel proclaims that on Calvary, Jesus died on a tree. And he died there to take away the bitterness of sin, the bitterness of suffering, the bitterness of death. And he gave us forgiveness and healing and eternal life. Now, the second tree is described at the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 22, verse 2. And as the Apostle John is capturing this vision of the new heaven and the new earth, he's talking about an eternal stream of life. And then he says, on each side of the river is the tree of life, which produces 12 crops of fruit, bearing its fruit each month. The tree's leaves are for the healing of the nations. A beautiful picture of eternity. The tree of life. The healing of the nations. Now, I don't know what bitterness you might be experiencing today, but I do know this, that bitterness, whatever it is you are facing, does not have the last word. Jehovah Rapha does. The one who brought healing to the water of Marah in the desert long ago, who brought eternal healing for us through the cross of Christ, who promises an eternity in which all the nations will be healed. Jehovah Rapha makes the bitter life sweet. The sweet life. The sweet life is not found in the things of this world, no matter what anybody says about them. Our true healing is found in relationship with Jehovah Rapha. Look at the rest of this story. The Lord made a regulation and a ruling there, and there he tested them. The Lord said, if you are careful to obey the Lord your God, do what God thinks is right. Pay attention to his commandments and keep all of his regulations. Then I won't bring on you any of the diseases that I brought on the Egyptians. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. Let me ask you this morning, are you ready to turn to Jehovah Rapha, your healer, with your need today? Jehovah Rapha can make your circumstances that are bitter sweet. Jehovah Rapha can take a body that is broken and sick and bring healing. God created the body with an incredible capacity to heal on its own. God also gifted us with people like doctors and nurses, like therapists and researchers, with the ability to provide treatment for illness. But beyond that, even when physical healing does not come, Jehovah Rapha gives us the grace, moment by moment and day by day, to find in his presence the healing that we need. Jehovah Rapha can heal your soul. When you're beaten down and sorrowful and weak and angry, God is the one who will wipe away your tears and bring peace to your heart. Jehovah Rapha can heal your spirit. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, when you were dead in your sins in the old life, he made you alive in Christ. And if you know Jesus, you know something about that spiritual healing of being raised from death to life. Jehovah Rapha can heal your relationships, mend what is torn, restore what is broken, make whole what has been lost, reconcile what has been separated. All things are possible because the Lord our healer is with us. Now, in a moment, I'm going to invite you to join with me in a time of prayer for healing. But before I do that, I want to pause for a moment at the last verse in this text. Verse 27. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. They camped there by the water. Now, at first, it appears like that verse is out there on its own and does not relate to the rest of our passage. And yet, it's there for an important reason. Some have nicknamed this text for today the two watering holes. And it marks the journey of God's people from Marah, the Hebrew word for bitter, to Elim, the Hebrew word for oasis. When we're in the midst of bitterness, it seems like we're going to be there forever. But this story reminds us that whatever bitterness we're experiencing right now, it's only temporary. We're passing through. Because Jehovah Rapha is already at work, leading us toward our healing. Leading us to Elim, where the water is fresh and the shade trees are plentiful, and we can camp in peace. Jehovah Rapha, your healer, is at work even now, to restore you to that place where you can experience the indwelling of God's shalom, God's peace. Jehovah Rapha invites us to surrender, to let go of whatever it is we're holding on to, to open our hearts and our hands, knowing of his great desire to make all things new in us.